This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
First, I'd just like to acknowledge my colleague Debbie Summers, who's not able to be with us today because of social engagements in Port Macquarie, which is far more important than being here. I also would like to acknowledge the fact that she's done most of the work on what I'm about to read to you with the slideshow. So I'll just get that set up. That's just a location map to let you know where Port Macquarie is. We're sort of halfway between Sydney and Brisbane on the beautiful mid-north coast of New South Wales. The initial thematic study, called Timber Stories, was a study of timber collections and heritage resources in the Hastings during 2002 and 2003, and it was designed to document and interpret local collections, identify significant objects, build museum volunteer skills, underpin new interpretations in participating museums, and promote new cultural tourism opportunities connecting the area's forests, places and collections. Subsequent studies, Her Story, which was carried out between 2004 and 2006, and Harvesting the Hastings, which is presently being carried out 2007 to 2009, continue the same aims, better documenting, interpreting and exhibiting local collections. These studies have received funding from Arts New South Wales under the now defunct Museums Program, the Heritage Office of New South Wales, and significant contributions from the council where I'm employed, Port Macquarie Hastings Council. Our experience has shown that uncatalogued objects and collections can still be researched with rewarding outcomes. Personal recollections, personal photographic collections, interviews and old historical society minute books can shed light on the history and provenance of uncatalogued objects. A good example is the convict table. The table was at the Port Macquarie Historical Society and Museum collection for many years, and it was moved from pillar to post, never really having had a permanent display space, and its interpretation consisted of a sign that said, "A convict table." So it's true. During the research phase of the Timber Stories study, it was used by a volunteer as a work table, leaving a saw cut partway through the top plank, which was one of the two original planks. It wasn't catalogued, but it has turned out to be a very significant object. Valuing and re-evaluating local collections has been an important outcome from our three thematic studies. Some objects, once considered valuable, are now less so, whilst others have risen on the scale of importance and significance. At the Port Macquarie Historical Museum, most of the collection was already catalogued. However, further collection research for the studies uncovered that some objects had been catalogued several times, and some of the most significant objects so far had never been catalogued at all. The chiffonier left was always referred to as the Cross Chiffonier, belonging to the Reverend John Cross, the first chaplain at the convict built St Thomas's Church. Assignation of significance by association, but research proved this incorrect. The sideboard at right turned out to be a very significant piece made in England of local Port Macquarie timbers. All participating museums are entirely volunteer operated. I work with 10 local heritage groups and museums within my local government area, which has a population of about 75,000 throughout the whole local government area. Bit of a quirk of nature. I'm not sure why we've got 10 when Coffs Harbour has one, but it certainly makes my job very interesting. And the studies are rolled out with everybody. I meet regularly, bi-monthly, with what I call the Museums Working Group, which is two representatives from each of those organisations that work alongside me, and we do the research phases together, which I'll just go into now. Some museums come on board really quickly. Some thematic studies don't particularly interest some of the museums or historical societies, and therefore they don't participate. They still come to the meetings, but the amount of work that's done just depends on the interest and the availability of the museum volunteers at the time. It was thought that splitting the thematic studies into stages would assist in managing and delivering the desired aims and objectives, and most importantly, assist museum volunteers in learning new skills in object and collection research and documentation. Early stages provided time to research objects and consider how they fitted into the thematic study and sub-themes. Stage one of each of these thematic studies has been the commissioning of a contextual history. As for each theme, there was little consolidated local documentation. Those groups have always worked independently of each other before my employment about 7 years ago. So they saw each other as opposition and competition before we actually got this cooperative working environment happening, where now we're happy to share information between us. Yes, the first stage is the development of a contextual history. As for each theme, there was little consolidated local documentation. These have been helpful to a degree, but the three commissions so far have fallen short of assisting collection research. Perhaps our choice of researchers has left us feeling shortchanged, and we would recommend that any contextual history commissioned to assist collections research be carried out by someone who understands objects, collections and significance rather than simply history. In regional areas with a reflective budget, this, I fear, will be almost impossible. The sharing of research resources, this is my plug, between national, state and community organisations could benefit everybody. Education and training of museum volunteers has been a primary aim in the thematic studies. Group and individual training was conducted and continues in everything from significance assessment, care of textiles, care of paper-based objects, collection management, exhibitions on a budget and care of timber and metal objects. Expert advisors, mostly sought through the wonderful Powerhouse Museum Regional Services Program, have provided training and one-on-one consultations as required. Debbie Summers received a Powerhouse Museum internship in the care and management of textiles. She's now become a trainer. She teaches other museum volunteers who newly develop skills and is presently working with the Powerhouse Museum as a regional rep on the Australian Dress Register project. Her training in significance assessments is utilised by the Queensland Museum Development Officers, and the Powerhouse Museum recommend her to regional museums close by to Port Macquarie. At first, regular museums working group and collections research group meetings were held. However, the diversity of collections and museums has resulted in a more individual management approach to ensure the needs of each museum are best served. The museum's working group continues to meet 4 times a year, and the collections research group is gradually being replaced in other ways, with the recently reformed Museums Australia Mid-North Coast chapter. Port Macquarie Hastings Council won the inaugural Imagine Award for Innovation and Leadership for the process of bringing these 10 museums, historical societies and heritage groups together to work collaboratively. To the informed, there's little doubt that significance is the key to successful storytelling and therefore exhibitions. To the hard-working museum volunteers, significance can be viewed as a lot of time-consuming hard work which does not assist in paying the bills or manning the front desk. Their capacity for taking this concept on board is doubtful without great assistance and support from the professional sector. Significance assessments produced by professionals through community heritage grants and the like are not always useful either. Linking community museums into a better coordinated state and national collections significance structure is another hurdle. The carrot and the stick method was used to encourage museum volunteers to document their collections. Museums were offered money as an incentive to produce object files and statements of significance. Port Macquarie Historical Society and Museum accepted the challenge and continue to write object files and statements of significance for their significant objects and collections. Others did not necessarily see that the workload justified the payment. At these museums, collection documentation remains poor and new exhibitions and displays are rare. The single biggest gain from these projects has been the Port Macquarie Historical Museum's growth in terms of understanding significance and how it can be used to link objects to stories and how to tell stories using objects. This has resulted in new exhibitions and displays, fresh looks and enhanced or new interpretation, previously there but was with little interpretation. Changing from the folk museum display of like objects with like objects to using a variety of objects to tell stories within topics and themes. The thematic approach also works well across all the organisations in mounting distributed displays and producing small publications, which all have a project branding. This museum has learnt the benefits of researching its collections, identifying significant objects, researching the people, places, organisations and events associated with those objects and telling stories using them. They have learnt that an object can be interpreted and exhibited in different ways to tell different stories. They have seen the benefits of this information for guiding and hosting education programs. Even at volunteer-run museums, project management is vital in presenting new exhibitions. For many older volunteers, this sounds like too much hard work. Engaging consultants to assist in graphic design and production goes some way to producing professional outcomes. However, the real key is understanding objects and collections and how they can be utilised to tell stories and interesting and unique stories. This can only come about from researching collections and giving them historical and social context within the wider history story. The convict table is a good example of an object that has been utilised in different ways in different exhibitions. It's currently exhibited in Port Beginnings, which tells the story of the British penal settlement in Port Macquarie. Many museum volunteers are not interested in researching their collection, but volunteer for other reasons. Some are handy, so they build multifunctional plinths and cabinets for display spaces. Others require more of a social benefit, and increasingly, many have to be there to qualify for their Centrelink payment. Museums are also using their new skills to obtain grants to assist in exhibition development and collection interpretation. Hundreds of volunteer hours have gone into the three studies to date. Some are benefiting from the work they are doing, however, not all are willing or in some cases able participants. For some, it's not a matter of training or education. They need on-the-ground assistance to document, care for and exhibit their collections to ensure that the collections remain viable, relevant and publicly accessible. Overall, thematic studies in the Port Macquarie-Hastings region over the past 7 years have generated some great object research and collection documentation, given new skills and enthusiasm to volunteer-run museums, and resulted in some high-quality exhibitions telling local, state and national stories in local communities. The ongoing support of the professional sector is vital in continuing and adding to these achievements.
And I'm a museums and collections student. Has the focus to researching at the volunteer level, has it changed the nature of your volunteer recruitment? Do you find that you're getting a different type of volunteer who's interested in research, or you're still getting, this in the regions, the same kind of retiree?
Yeah, there's a whole process that Port Macquarie Museum now uses in orienting new guides or new volunteers. And from that, Debbie will take them through the processes, the different kinds of aspects of how they can volunteer and where they can volunteer. And very few of them put their hand up with an interest to do any object research. Debbie herself is exceptional. And if Debbie wasn't there, I'm not sure how successful the whole thematic study would be without her driving it alongside me as a colleague. The majority of the volunteers, the new volunteers these days, are Centrelink based. And I suppose, the average age of our museum volunteers would be 70 to 75. And there's no one coming up to address that at the moment.
Eva Castle, I'm a student at Sydney Uni.
Hello.
Hello. And formerly a museum development officer. I'm just interested in the issue of significance. How do you communicate that or train the volunteers in significance and the process of assessing significance? Or is that done by professionals?
No, actually Debbie does it alongside me. She's developed Significance for Dummies, as she calls it, which she delivered as a paper at the Museums Australia conference in Brisbane some years ago, which is how the Museum Development Office has got onto her. And it's a fantastic, very basic, simple process of explaining significance. Debbie gets it, there's no doubt about that. Not many of the other people that she speaks to get it. Not many of the people that I try to explain significance to get it. And if they do get it, they haven't shown any interest in, taking it further than understanding the concept. It's just too difficult. And the professionals we've had through the Community Heritage Grants to write statements of significance of two of our local collections, in fact, Rosalind Russell from here is coming to do one on the Port Macquarie Museum towards the end of the year. But the other one I've had for the Maritime Museum has not been particularly useful because it's not really object-based. There seems to be significance that we may have chosen a person that didn't have the right skills, but it wasn't the outcome. It was an outcome, and there is a statement of significance of the collection, but it's not as useful as I had hoped.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.